Andy.
Hello, my friend.
I'm chewing.
What are you chewing? Got a little ASMR channel here.
Protein bar.
Getting swole? Working on those gains?
More like keeping swole.
That's right. That's way to put it. Trying to keep these gains.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
A little sunburnt.
Is it a gazillion degrees in New York today?
It's like 95.
Yeah, it's very gross here. Very gross.
Well, it's 90 and it feels like it's 95. It's one of those things.
Let me see what my computer says about.
They're like, don't worry, it's humid enough that you should feel like you're dying right now.
Yes, they're confirming that that is normal, as expected.
It's normal.
Here feels like 98 is actually 92. Going to, at 2 p.m., feel like 100. I'm sorry, 102 at 3 p.m. is what it's going to feel like.
Trying to brag right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a bit of a temperature queen, so.
No, I'm hotter and bitchier.
I'm so hot.
I'm literally dying.
Everyone says hot girl summer, but then it turns to 102 and everyone's complaining.
Yeah, why is everyone saying hot girl summer? What does that even mean?
What does it even mean?
Yeah.
Is, like, where did it come from? Is that a serious question?
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from. It's purely a affirmation of, you know, sexuality, hotness. Just, you know, get out there, be yourself, do your thing. I think everyone's all about it because last summer was pure lockdown pandemic hellscape. And so
this
summer, everyone's like, you know what? Get out there. Just, you know, grind on some strangers, make out with people.
Grind on strangers.
Very positive with your...
Sex positive.
So sex positive.
Let a soft boy manipulate you into thinking he likes you.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, that turned dark.
I was just reflecting back on my hot girl summers.
I don't think I ever had a hot boy summer.
Feel so empowered until you're not.
Yeah, turns out.
You never had a hot boy summer?
No, I never had a summer where I hooked up with any more than one person.
Come on, Andy. Jeez.
I know. Well, my problem was when I was younger, I was just a serial monogamist because no one had ever modeled any kind of respectful relationship to me other than pure monogamous relationship. And so I did not know anything else. And so...
Be together forever and fear being cheated on more than the plague.
Right. And so what I should have done, hindsight 2020, is just like made out with a bunch of people, been very chill, very low commitment. But what instead I did was just pathologically dated all of my friends in sequence. And it was not great.
So you had no more friends and you had a bunch of ex-girlfriends.
Pretty much, yeah.
Walking outside, let's see if the threshold...
I'm sure we'll lose you for 10 seconds, as we always do.
A million flies. A million flies. Ew.
How hot does it have to be before the flies die because it's too hot? Probably really hot, I think.
There are so many flies in our little precipice area.
You gotta find, there's some standing water somewhere. You gotta find it, dry it out.
Oh my god. It's like a nature documentary where they like do a close up on the photographer's hand.
And it's just covered in flies.
Look at his commitment.
This is how you get that National Geographic prize for photo of the year.
Yeah.
Get bitten by a bunch of flies while you're taking pictures of a platypus or whatever.
Exactly. I have a tank top on that's reminding me of tankinis, which was a swimsuit
is
style
a
when I was younger.
A bikini, but the top is a tank top instead?
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a bad name, but it sounds like a fine bathing suit.
It was for girls like me who are not quite confident enough in their midriff to
somewhere between a bikini and a one piece.
Yes, exactly. Like you get like an inch of midriff instead of like 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more comfortable.
Sure, I can see that.
But yeah, I'm wearing a tank top that reminds me of that because I've got just a tiny bit of belly button showing, and I am self-conscious.
Oh, but Linda, we just talked about it. It's hot girl summer. Just embrace it.
Gotta own that shit.
Put that button
out
there. You know that button, that belly button says loud and proud, I had an umbilical cord once. I needed it to get nutrients from my mother. And boy, that's hot shit, let me tell you.
That is hot.
I love seeing a belly button on a hot lady and thinking about their umbilical cord. Ooh, it gets me so hot.
Yeah. Right as I was like being insecure about that, I walked by this man who, oh my God, Andy, you would love this man. He's got really short jean shorts on. He's got some belly button showing.
Love it.
A bald head and a giant mustache.
Okay, so you basically just walk past B is what you're saying.
Right. Basically you, mm-hmm. but the hot girl summer version of Andy.
You came so close to saying the hotter version of you. It's fine. You can just say that.
No, the hot girl summer version.
Okay, sure, Lindo. I got it on tape. We can check
you
the
record. You are way hotter. You are so much hotter.
You can check the record. I think I give off some very ambiguous sexual vibes with my mustache,
oh,
my
for
short
sure.
shorts. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are looking at me and go, who knows what he's
into. You keep
into.
People right where you want them, and that's a
Which
little confused.
In the mystery
around.
Zone. You've heard of the friend zone, perhaps? Let me introduce you to the mystery zone. What is that thing, and what does it think of me?
We will never acknowledge the chemistry, but it is undeniably there. Andy, I have an update on joblessness.
Hit me.
I would like you to know that my nails are longer and stronger than they have ever been.
Oh, because you're not biting them.
Yep.
Did we talk about this when Day died? Because I didn't bite my fingernails for for like weeks, and I thought at first that like some weird like circuit breaker had been tripped in my brain and I was just changed forever, like, you know, somebody does acid once and then stops smoking for the rest of their life or something. I thought maybe I had just been changed, but it turns out it's because I just didn't work for a few weeks. As soon as I started working again, I chewed them all off again.
There you go. Yeah, because I realized, like, I'll start typing, I'll hear a little tippy tap and I don't like it, and so I'll just nom 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 nom.
It's I think there's a very, very strong correlation between my time spent on a computer and number of fingernails chewed off.
Yeah, because right now I'm looking at them, baby, all 10, not even like the one random pinky nail that I can't stop picking at. Mm-hmm. No, they're all 10 of them are in like ship shape. I am so impressed.
I'm proud of those long, strong nails, Linda. That's great.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Now,
it's a totally different thing.
The goal be, once you start doing your consulting or whatever, you gotta have a setup that keeps those long, strong nails. Like, this can be your canary in the coal mine.
It can be. The minute I like look down and one of my nails just looks like it's been chewed to pieces, because it has been.
You have to install a kill switch that if that happens, you just hit a big red button. It turns off your Wi-Fi, shuts down your whole internet.
Computer, and it sends an email to your client that you need to reduce your hours.
Yeah, it puts up an out-of-email response. An out-of-office email response.
I have an out-of-office on right now, and I have so many infinity loops triggered with other bots. It's great.
Love it.
Yep. Fantastic. But they seem to end after, like, 3 loops now. Like, they don't go and go and go and go and go forever.
Yeah. They're programmed to limit. They thought of that, the computer programmers, when they built the autoresponders.
Yeah. Andy, I have a question.
Okay. Maybe I have an answer. We'll see.
First of all, I'm watching a woman walk by in a Klein blue dress with Klein blue sandals, and I just saw her look down at her sandals so as to think, were the sandals too much?
That
and I want to look at her
not
say,
a question.
No. Okay, so the question is, do you believe in fancy water?
Do I believe in fancy water? Can I ask for some clarifications on this question?
So I am currently drinking, like, at the beach house. The water was fine. Like, the tap water was totally fine, but we still bought some bottled water.
Sometimes
we'd be going to the beach
tap water
all
tastes a little
day
funky.
Long. Yeah, and ours actually tasted good, but, you know, you're at the beach all day long, and you got, like, 8 people, so it's good to have, like, some backup, because everyone has, like, their I care about the planet water bottle that they filled up before they came, but then, you know, you want to have...
Which is the fourth one they bought, and each one, you know, takes up a bunch of renewable resources. But yeah, okay, everyone's got one
of those. Yeah, exactly. And then, like, the shipping that they had, whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I have a leftover bottle of water that I'm currently drinking, and it's, like, an Essentia overachieving H2O ionized hydration, 9.5 pH or higher, purified electrolytes. How do you feel about that?
I have a complicated relationship with fancy water, Linda. Have we talked about this at all, ever?
I don't think so.
So, my dad was an entrepreneur dude all his life. That's a very nice way of saying he was a charlatan that would, you know, try and start businesses because he thought he was smarter than and better than people that would otherwise employ him. And
right.
He was fundamentally unemployable. And
right.
His most successful business venture... Well, no. So, his... He worked in the beverage industry his entire life, and one of his most committed and hugely failed business ventures was a distilled water company
in the early
2000s before bottled water was like a thing, was like a popular thing. Like, I'm not even sure you could get it in grocery stores at that point. And the reason he did it is because, in part, he was somewhat paranoid about the quality of water that comes out of taps. I don't know where this came from. He had a lot of ambiguous paranoias that would seem to indicate some sort of prior trauma. But as far as we could tell, he had none of this. I don't think he'd ever gotten diphtheria from tap water. But he was definitely just ambiguously concerned about it. And if you'd ask him, what do you think is going to happen if you drink the tap water? He wouldn't have a clear answer for you. He wasn't like, oh, it causes cancer, or oh, it does this. He was just like, it's got stuff in it, it's not good, whatever. So
yeah,
he started a purified water company, which he just did in our little suburb of Philadelphia. He like bought a distillation plant and bought a fleet of trucks to deliver, you know, 5 gallon tanks of water and the like cases of bottled water and stuff.
And this is a huge operation.
I mean, it was a single plant. It was not huge, and you know, maybe had
but anything that's like not in the home and has like multiple units of vehicle and
probably four to six delivery trucks. I remember riding around on the forklift in the like little distillation factory, which was attached to a little warehouse, all the time when I was a kid. Got to drive the forklift or like ride the forklift blades up to a high shelf and, you know, have fun doing that. And this business failed horribly, just terribly. It ruined our, it's the source of my family's, we've talked before about my financial anxiety, and it was largely rooted in the extreme destruction of our finances from this ill-fated business. Even when I was, and I was probably like 12, 13 in like the heyday of this business. And even at that age, I was like, bottled water is bullshit. I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
We live in one of the countries, one of like the comparatively few countries in the world where you can just drink the tap water and it's fine. It's like we have the great privilege of clean tap water coming out of our faucets whenever we want on demand. And you are inventing a dumb fuck business to use a bunch of plastic and use a bunch of gas driving water around places because you think it's got bacteria in it, or you think it's a profitable business, but you have no idea how to run a business because you're kind of bad at math and not very forward thinking. So I thought it was dumb and bullshit, and that has largely been my entire opinion of any kind of bottled water from my entire life. I do really like seltzer. I'm a millennial. Mm-hmm. I'll fucking admit it. I'm a tech industry millennial. I like my seltzer water.
Yeah.
But I try and cut down on the cans and bottles and stuff. So we have a SodaStream, but you know, SodaStream is this Israeli company that has done a bunch of bullshit in the Gaza Strip and is really morally dubious at best. And you know, it's impossible to be a moral actor under capitalism. We've talked about that before.
Right.
Here's where this story is today, though, Linda. Mm-hmm, like 18 months ago. Is that right? Yeah, like 18 months ago, a little more 18 months ago, we got some new neighbors in our neighborhood, and one of the young couples, or I say young couples, they're our age, they're young relative to the other tenants of the neighborhood who are largely retirees. One of the other couples who's our age, they both are PhDs, and they both work in environmental stuff. Specifically, like water quality and like runoff from pesticides and, you know, herbicides and stuff, and how that affects water quality. They moved in and did like a water test on their tap water, and which is the tap water we presumably all have in the neighborhood, and found a particularly high concentration of this type of byproduct of the cleaning agents. So, you know, they put chlorine and stuff in the water to get rid of all the bacteria and crap like that to make it clean drinking water. And if you put too much in, or it combines with some other stuff, it can have... It's not the actual cleaning agents that are problematic, but it's these byproducts of them. And I forget, they have a long chemical name or whatever.
Yeah.
And this amount was like well over what the CDC or whatever says is a safe amount to have in drinking water. And so they kind of sent an email to the neighborhood and were like, hey, it's not like a huge concern, but over the course of your entire life, like this absorbs through your skin when you're in the shower. It obviously gets into you if you drink the water. They're like, getting a, you know, whole house-wide purification system, filtration system, and if I always want to, here's where you can get it or whatever.
What happens to you? Like, what, like with this particular thing, like, do they know like what the side effects would be after a lifetime?
I don't want to read my email while I'm on the call with you. It's a great question. I think it's like, you know, ambiguous cancery stuff, probably.
I would guess.
You know, we don't know what causes all kinds of things, and it's probably some of that stuff, I would imagine. I don't actually know.
Yeah.
I don't remember them talking in detail about it, but it was just like, hey, this is a hazardous chemical that you probably don't want to build up in your system and can over time.
Yeah, well, like, I had a friend whose mother swore that the reason she couldn't get pregnant for, like, 8 years was because of all the copper in their pipes. And, like, they had, like, all copper pipes, and, it, like, they tested their water. It turns out there was, like, a shitload of copper in the water, and then they, like, got a filtration system, and she got pregnant, like, 6 months later.
I thought copper was good for pipes.
Well, it is, but if it's, like, corroding and you're drinking it and it's in your blood system, I don't know. That's why, like, IUDs are made out of copper. It's just, like, for some reason... stops.
I never really understood the copper IUD thing. It seems kind of weirdly magical.
It is really weird. It is like
a little piece of copper down here and it's all fine. And I'm like, what? Just a little?
Yeah, why does copper? Okay.
Just a little piece of copper? Weird. Very strange.
Yeah.
Science. Yeah. How does it work?
Anyway, so your neighbors did this.
They did this thing and they installed this water filtration system. And I went ahead and there was I went ahead and like there was a sale on the company that was making this house-wide water filtration system. And I just bought the thing. It's in my basement. I still haven't installed it. I've had it for almost a year now. And I just haven't gotten around to like having a plumber out to install this filtration system. But it was like, you know, I think it was like $600 and it lasts like 10 years, which is like not a trivial amount of money. But if my neighbors that are very smart PhDs in water contaminants are doing it.
Yeah, they're not just like, we watch this on YouTube. They're like, we study this for a living.
Right.
Yeah.
They are not like woo-woo crystal people. They're like, the woman works for a startup that does water tests for, you know, residential property. So she knows, like, they know their shit.
Yeah.
So their influence, you know, I said a little while ago, and I still believe that, like, we live in America. The water that comes out of the tap is largely, and again, you know, places like Flint aside, there are still places in America where people do have shitty things in their tap water.
Right.
I do still believe largely it is just clean water, and it's a great privilege we all have of living in a place with decent infrastructure. That said, I do also kind of think, on another level, tap water probably does have a bunch of shit in it because who cares, right? Like, I think ultimately the amount we know about what we're doing to things like water, what we're putting in our body, is, like, minimal. And, like, you know, they just did a test in their own home, and they found this amount was like considerably over the limit that the CDC or whatever the, you know, FDA allows. Theoretically, the city is supposed to be testing the water all the time to see if that's the case, but like they're either not or they're doing it in specific places, but there's a giant water system and so they're not testing in every single property across the entire city. So yeah, ultimately I do like, I'm more sympathetic as I sit here now, 32 years old, to the idea of like, I drink bottled water because it is cleaner than I ever was, though I still think overall the like the moral cost of like bottles and shit, it greatly outweighs any kind of like minor contaminants in your water. I think what you should do probably is what my neighbors did, which is like, you know, take the cleanliness of your like house's tap water into your own control and like get a filtration system or whatever.
Take responsibility for that.
It's a long answer, Linda, but I hated bottled water for a long time, largely because I hated my dad's stupid bullshit business ideas, and I still dislike it quite a bit, but I am more amenable to the idea that maybe tap water is just not 100% good for you all the time.
Yeah, and if you can afford to filter yours out, like, and you want to do that for peace of mind, then that's great, and do it, and if you cannot afford it, you're probably going to be fine. Like, let's be real.
There's probably other things that are going to be bigger concerns for you. Again, for the most part, like Flint not aside, there are lots of places in America where that's not the case, where the drinking water is actually killing people and you know, causing learning issues and brain issues and all kinds of shit. But
yeah,
exactly. That's my answer about fancy water, Linda.
I love that answer. That's a great answer. I personally,
how do you feel about it? Yeah.
I mean, I grew up like, I don't know, my parents are very like, whatever, just drink it. It's totally like, yeah, like we were not germaphobes. I've used many a public bathroom in my day, drink straight out of the tap my whole life.
Are you flexing about using a public restroom? Are there some people that don't use public restrooms?
Oh, yeah. Lots of people.
Lots
who
of
are
people?
Like, will not poop unless they are at their house.
Okay. Well, pooping is one thing. That's a different thing.
But when you're a woman, you have to like squat or hover or sit regardless of what number you're going.
Sure.
But
you're saying, do you know multiple women that will not pee in a public restroom under any circumstances?
No, it's usually men. It's usually men who like, if they have to go number two and it's like really bad, like they will not use a public bathroom.
Okay. I have known some people that are not comfortable pooping in public, which, you know, I'm a little more sympathetic to that perspective, because it is very vulnerable. It's like just evolutionarily, you know, you're in a vulnerable position. So I can understand people feeling uncomfortable with that.
Yes.
Same. I don't think I've ever known somebody that would not pee in a public restroom.
No, I don't know that. Maybe
anyway,
one person.
I don't need to pick apart your details. You use public restrooms. You're a dirty, dirty girl. We all know it.
I'm a dirty girl. I drink the tap water. But yeah, like one time when I was in San Francisco, I had a guy over who I offered him a glass of water, and he was just like, "Oh, is that tap water?" And I said, "No, yeah." And he was like, "Oh no, because the government." And he was on the like fluoride kick. Like the government puts fluoride in the water. It controls our minds.
I mean, they do put fluoride in the water, but that's one of the good things they do, because fluoride's good for us.
Right.
Anyway.
And that's like,
was
my mom
during your hot girl summer,
why...
you had a guy over and he harassed you about your tap water?
I had a hot girl summer for like 6 years straight. And
See, it was
during that time.
See, this is what I can't believe. During your hot girl summer, you never got a tattoo and you never rode a motorcycle. That's what I don't understand. You had a 6 year you had a 6 year rumspringa after your first marriage, and you never rode a motorcycle? Like, weird.
Nope, never. I know what I like and I know what I don't like, Andy.
Respect. So much respect, Linda.
But yeah, and that kind of stuck with me ever since. And so I've seen there are all these like Instagram girls who have their like, it's called like a Berkey or something. And it's like
this
stainless, it's like this stainless steel cylinder that takes up a shitload of space in your kitchen, and you fill it up with water and it supposedly filters out all the shit. But I bet that that's like non-science, and what your friends did is actual science.
Yeah, because I asked them at the time, like, our refrigerator has a normal charcoal filter in it, the same way that, like, you know, what's the name of that? Brita, like a Brita filter. You might have like a pitcher in your refrigerator or something. And I was like, does this do anything? And they were like, yeah, no, it doesn't. for this specific thing that is the problem, like, none of that kind of like off the shelf, whatever, like water filtration stuff does anything. You need this special this special kind of filter. Now, I'm sure that those things are taking something out of the water, but maybe they're taking stuff out of the water that like would never actually hurt you. It's just like a marketing thing where they're like, we could say we took stuff out of the water, and we did, but what we actually took out of the water is like completely meaningless bacteria, of which you're like also just inhaling all day every day by being a human being alive in the world, you know?
Like, do you think that if you took like dank ass river water and put it through a Brita that you could actually drink what comes out?
So there are some filters that are designed to do exactly this for like camping, where you get like fancy filters. I don't know how those differ from the chlorine tablets. I don't know how those. Yeah. Obviously, the tablets are different. I'm not sure how the filtration ones actually differ from Brita, if at all. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about this, Linda. That's my point. I'm a dumb idiot boy.
Yeah. Well, this shows the listener that we did not plan this conversation, and that
is that a frequent feedback you're getting? Like, wow, that conversation was so tight and clean, and it just kept flowed so naturally that it just seems like you must have really planned that.
Yeah. Andy, I was just talking to a friend today who I used to do comedy with in San Francisco, and he has a podcast that, knock on wood, might get approved by, I won't even say any like specifics, but you know, like a company that hosts or that has podcasts, so he can like have it on their network.
Oh, he's gonna get on a Earwolf or a can't think of
just
one
of those.
Max
just Thorne. One of those.
What's the anyway? One of those. Yeah, sure.
Just one of those. But yeah, I was very excited to hear the details, and I was like, I want to subscribe to the updates on this to see what it's like to actually get a podcast picked up, and like what kind of production help do they give you? What kind of marketing help do they give you? I'm just so curious. I want to hear all the things. It sounds really cool. And I was telling him about
our podcast.
I've
been on a network before, Linda. You've never asked me about that.
Wait, what? Which network were you on?
We were on the 5x5 with On the Grid.
Is that like a cool thing?
I mean, depends who you ask. It seemed like a very cool thing until we were on it. And then once we were on it, it was like, this actually isn't really anything.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
what was not that cool about it?
They sold ads against the show, which was nice, because I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to bother like doing sales or anything like that. And we were not a big enough show that like individual advertisers would reach out to us directly, but we were big enough that when clustered with four or five other similarly sized shows, we were like a package deal where you could get like ads on these five shows and it added up to this many downloads or whatever. I made a little money off it for a little while, which was nice. Most of those things, like, really all they're doing is the marketing they do is just you get to put a little stinger in other shows on the network, which I'm sure you've heard on a million podcasts where you hear a little 30-second ad for some other show on the network. That's pretty much the extent of the advertising any of them do, to my knowledge. I think the real service is, like, relationships with advertisers and, you know, managing all that kind of crap.
Yeah. It would just be so cool to see what, like, a sick-ass production studio could do. Be so fun. Take our format, and then you and I can, like, reflect back on the episodes together and be like, in this episode, Andy was a real dickhead. And I was
interesting
mad.
Example you chose.
You're not a dickhead, Andy. You're never a dickhead. You're great.
I record this show on my little just handheld mic wherever I happen to be, which I feel like is in the spirit of the show. But I do have a studio that we set up at the office that I've moved around a little bit since the pandemic that I use for recording other podcasts. So I have multiple people in person.
Yeah. I mean, it would just be cool to see what the, like, Michael Bay version of our show is just for one episode. Like, I want to keep doing our format, and I don't want to change a thing, but it would be fun to see what the, like, pew, pew,
pew, pew, pew. If anybody out there wants to volunteer to put in loud explosions, other kinds of sound effects,
yes.
For the episode, please reach out. I will definitely just drop it right in the feed. I have no scruples about that. Just send me send me an MP3 of your produced version of Earth to Linda, and we'll make it happen.
I'll give you $200.
Wow. That's a pretty good deal.
Not bad.
I don't think $200. Podcast editors get paid a whole lot of money. I think that's probably like market rate, even for a pretty well circulated podcast.
Yeah. Too bad no one will hear this.
Did you ever? I'm sure we've talked about You Look Nice Today before. If you listen to that show, are you a fan?
I do not listen to that show, but I have heard it, I think.
It stopped being produced like 7 years ago, and then they started coming out with newer episodes more recently, which also stopped. Fine. But the old episodes are a very different thing, you know, and I'm not going to say better. It's a different kind of thing. But the format of that show was very much like this show. It was just like people talking and, you know, talking impromptu and speaking about whatever was on their mind and just kind of catching up. But Adam Lissagore of Lonely Sandwich, one of the co-hosts of the podcast, was the producer of that show and would take their completely off-the-cuff chats and then fairly rigorously edit them and like reorder them and stuff to turn it into like a weird kind of almost performance art thing, which to me that's like the gold standard of production for this kind of show, which I generally don't like production values. Like I had cause to listen to a really old Radiolab yesterday, like from the, I'm sure you and I both had a Radiolab phase. Is that safe to assume?
100%.
Right. When Radiolab hit the scene, it was like revelatory. It was like, wow, listen to the art they're doing on this podcast episode.
Yeah.
I listened back to a really old one because I referenced it on another show and I had to put it in the show notes. I wanted to make sure I referenced the right episode. And it was so cringy. It was really...
Really?
It was really like... I mean, they get full credit for kind of inventing a new way to make a podcast. Like,
right.
You can't look back on it and be like, oh, it's bad because no one had done it before and it totally changed the way people make podcasts. But given that it was the first example of it, it really has not aged that well. And there's so many better examples of it now. It just totally sounds like they're like going over the top to be like, and can you believe what happens when this thing... And there's just weird ending sounds and stuff like that.
Yeah, his cadence was always like... And you look here. What is happening?
We have, we got Jad, who was like the straight man, and then Robert will be like, you know, over the top.
Robert
like,
Krelwich. Yeah. So many memories of sitting at MailChimp and drawing doodles of things and monkeys and stuff and listening to Radiolab.
Yeah. And like, whatever. I mean, they have a MacArthur Genius Grant. I don't. They're much better at this than I am, but it's definitely not my taste in 2021, the way those Radiolab shows were made.
Have you listened to Dead Eyes yet?
Is that one of the shows you recommended to me?
Yeah, you should listen to Dead Eyes.
I have not listened to it yet.
And this is what I was trying to explain about Dead Eyes, because I feel like they're using like the serial format, but it's very self-aware that they're using that format, and it's like, I don't know, it's really good storytelling, and I really like it.
Did I listen to one of these episodes?
Just listen to the first one or two. Listen to the one with John Hamm.
Oh, Ham Hog? I'll listen to the Ham Hog episode.
Ham Hog. Yeah, listen to the Ham Hog episode. You'll be hooked.
I'd love to get hooked by that hog.
I just imagined a penis with like a fishing hook shape.
Yeah, I think we all did, Linda. That was pretty obvious, I think.
I'm not special.
No, you are special in different ways.
There's a really cute band. Oh my god, Andy!
What?
The man in the short shorts was going to set up his children's music band with his partner. They have They have face shields on. Oh, and he's removed a shirt to reveal that it is, in fact, denim overalls that are very short.
I thought you said you could see some belly button, Linda. So I'm a little confused about the consistency of his story.
Well, he must have had the flap down or something, because it's the same bottoms. Anyways, so
I'd recognize those bottoms anywhere.
they're singing to a bunch of bougie white kids.
That is a very Brooklyn setting. Somebody in short-cut denim overalls on a 100-degree day performing in their children's band in the middle of the afternoon on a Monday outside.
Everyone needs a day job, Andy.
Everyone needs a day job. I'm sympathetic to that.
Well,
it's probably good work if you can get it.
Well, happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Linda. So are you just... What is your deal? You're just not working for a little while? Are you going to, like, chill? Or are you, like...
I'm just fucking around.
Are you juggling, like, you know... potential consulting clients and like trying to like line things up and negotiate contracts, or are you just actually chilling?
I got my first contract signed on Friday, so it is legally binding and official.
Girl.
And it starts July 19th, and I'm going to work with them for 24 hours a week.
Oh, and I love this so much.
I know. And it's enough money that I don't need to take any other contracts.
And then guess what?
So
don't, bitch. Just chill. Plus, you have until the 19th. You have almost a whole month.
Yeah. So I'm going to go see my grandparents later this week. I'm going to go to Minnesota with my dear friend, Brett. We're going to drive up there from Minneapolis and hang out with them and sit in a weird casino. And apparently my grandpa broke his shoulder last week.
Oh,
so
no.
I know. Fuck. He needs to quit. He needs to quit trying to fix stuff because his body is too broke for all that.
Yeah, it do be like that when you get older. Well, send my best regards to your grandpa, and I hope you have a great time on your trip. And if you want to catch up while you're out in the middle of the country, you just let me know.
I will let you know. I probably will.
I'll be.
And then I'm gonna go to Georgia after that to take my niece to like the aquarium or something very touristy while she's out of school.
The Georgia aquarium fucking slaps. I am not a touristy thing guy, but that fucking aquarium
it slaps.
Baller.
It's so good.
You get to see whale sharks in captivity, which is like one of the only two places in the entire world you can see them. That giant-ass tank, the biggest aquarium tank in the whole North, all of America. Great.
Yep.
Love
it. And one of my sister's best friends used to be a marine biologist there, so she would get in her scuba gear and get in that tank to clean it and feed fishies and check on them and stuff. Oh, so fascinating. What a fascinating job.
Whale sharks are happy, because I sure do love looking at them in that giant-ass tank.
Yeah.
I feel like they may be big. Okay, but I'm just projecting probably.
I'm going to say when you see it from the top, it's more like it kind of ruins the magic a little bit to see it like from the other side. It's still cool. It's still a shitload of water. It's basically like a few football fields worth of water that they're swimming around in down there. But
I guess when you think about a whale shark, that's kind of the equivalent of like a goldfish being in a normal ass bowl.
Right. Exactly.
Whale sharks be big. They're pretty fish. I like them.
They be big.
They're so pretty.
I know.
All right. Well, good luck in your travels, and I'm always here if you want to check in.
Thanks. I'm going to go watch these men sing to children.
Yeah. Say hi to Dark Andy.
Bizarro Andy!
Find out if that guy plays Magic the Gathering, and then we know. That'll be the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah. That's the end. Right now, it's funny because his partner is the one playing guitar, and he's just kind of like hitting a box.
That is also somehow very Brooklyn, I feel like.
Yeah, he's just like sort of drumming.
He's got like one of those, what's that little like synthesizer that you play with a stylus? Is it called a stylophone?
Xylophone?
Stylophone. It's like a little handheld thing that just makes little bleep bloop noises, but you play with a little pen, like a little stylus.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway.
All right, Linda.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.